All right. Now, before we pray, let's look into the scripture. We are again in the book of Luke, one chapter from where we were a week ago. We're in chapter 12 tonight. If you would join me there, Luke chapter 12. And our verses really are verses 35 and 6 and 7. And then our Lord adds verse 38 right there as an encouragement. But this is how it reads, Luke 12, verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. So I'm really glad for a lot of the songs that we sang tonight. They were kind of speaking about this and singing about this. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them, whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third, and he finds them so. Blessed are those slaves. So what we have here briefly is in verse 35, we have a command. Verse 36, we have an illustration that illustrates what he means by the command. And then verse 37 is a promise that's added to this to encourage the saints. And this promise is, as you can see, it is yet another beatitude. But first, something of the setting of this teaching. This is in that section that you pick it up in verse 22, and he's talking about worrying about the body or worrying about what we're going to eat. And he says, now, this is, you know, look at the field, look at the ravens, look at the birds of the air, look at the lilies, that sort of thing. God takes care of all. And he wants us, as he would say, to stop worrying about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink. All these things, verse 30, the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. And then he says, but seek first his kingdom. So what's he saying? I know you're going to live in this world, he says. This is like reading the end of John. I'm leaving you here. But you're not of this world, even though you're in it. And he says, I want you to be otherworldly. The rest of the world is seeking all these things, and I want you to seek something else, the kingdom. And the Father's righteousness. And he says, don't worry about that. The Father's chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And it's such a beautiful picture of a separation from the world that he says, just go ahead and sell everything you've got and give it to the poor and set your mind on things above. And God will take care of the incidentals. And if you put your treasure there, your heart will be there also, and both will be kept by God. Now, then he comes to the section where we are. So, be dressed in readiness. He is speaking of what? This is a command to be dressed in readiness and to keep our lamps lit. It is a picture of waiting, isn't it? I was last Thursday morning. It was about 6 in the morning. Oh, I've been up for, you know, before that. All dressed I was, packed I was. And what was the purpose? Ryan was coming. We were getting in this vehicle and going all the way down to the airport in Houston, and I was ready. This is what Jesus is saying. Be dressed in this readiness and keep your lamps lit. He is saying, this is no ephemeral, I'm searching for the word here. This is no imaginary, unreal thing. He is speaking of a real event that's going to happen. And so he wants his people to be ready for it. And this then is the illustration that he gives. He says, be like men, verse 36, who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and when he knocks. And so this is the sense of expectation, the sense of anticipation by those who really believe this is going to happen. I tell you, one of the things, if you read through the autobiography, no, I take that back, it's the biography. It's the biography of George Mueller. But the end of it, if you get the one by A.T. Pearson, he's got this glossary or this appendices in the back of wise sayings of George Mueller. Anybody got the book or seen this? Oh, it's worth your while. Find it and get it. Anyway, Mueller says this, when I realized that the Christian is not supposed to look for death, but for the coming of the Lord Jesus, and to anticipate that is something that could happen just any time now. And so his theology was undergoing a change. He wasn't looking for the golden age to come upon the world and then the return of Christ. He said, I began to see that the world's getting worse and worse as you look at the end times prognostications, and it's not going to get gloriously better until the Lord Jesus returns. And he began to study this out, and he said, and I saw that what he was teaching was it could happen like that in a moment. And so he began to look for the coming of the Lord instead of the coming of the grave. And he said this made a profound difference in his walk with Christ. It was a real aid, a boon to his sanctification, because he began to think of standing before Jesus tomorrow instead of 30 years off. Does that make sense? We could be standing before him this evening, beloved. And that's a glorious thought. It's a sobering thought at the same time, isn't it? And so he's saying, now you be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps burning, just like these men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast. He's going to return, is the point. Now, you may not know exactly when he's coming. That's because he's the master. Maybe something detained him. Maybe something went on at the wedding feast. Maybe some other reason that we don't know. But could he be coming back in the second watch? Maybe he's coming back in the third watch. That's a prophecy about all the last days of the church, isn't it? Don't you think? That we don't know when it's all going to work out, but the Lord has said, it may come then, it may come later, it may come much later. But the point of the believer is to be ready and to keep his lamp lit. Now, this is so dear to him. This is so precious to our master that he says, now these are the promises I will give to you for being dressed in readiness, being ready for the coming of the Lord. He says, number one, it's there in verse 37. I say to you that the master will gird himself to serve. This is a picture, isn't it? This is stunning. These next few promises that he gives, there's three of them here in this verse 37, that when we realize the scope of it, now let me just put it this way, when we see it portrayed before us, when we're actually there and we watch it unfurl and unfold, it will be breathtaking. There will be the Son of God who does what? He, as he says, girds himself to serve. Now, do you have a mental picture of John chapter 13 right there? And Jesus taking off his outer garment and clothing, wrapping around his waist a towel and adopting the posture of a servant, and then going to each disciple and washing those dirty feet. And I think that what we're to gather from John 13 and Luke chapter 12 is that that scene is not an anomaly. And it wasn't just some unusual picture that Jesus is portraying the life of servitude, but he's saying, this is in the heart of the Son of God, and you will see this again. It's like this in the upper room is a prelude to what is coming in the glory. Jesus girding himself about to serve you, to serve you. It's a sobering thought. It's a beautiful one. The next one is this, what? And he will have these men and women, these servants of his who have been watching and waiting and keeping their lamps alit, and as you know, that is no easy task, is it? keeping that fire burning. That's not easy, is it? But this is so appreciated by this master who has been now let in by these that are waiting and watching that he does what? He sets a table before them. This is like hearing David saying, and he sets a table before me in the presence of all of my enemies. And here in this, it says, he will have them recline at the table. And you compare this and back and forth and weave it in and out with other verses about this scene, and you realize the prophets are there. Abraham is there. Jacob is there. Isaac is there. Moses is there. The saints that have gone before are there. This is that great scene when the believer in Jesus falls asleep, and the scripture has this beautiful phrase, he is gathered to his people. And there is a wonderful scene there. What does reclining at table mean to you? And I just wrote down a couple of thoughts. When it's finally supper time, or maybe when it's finally Christmas service, or when it's Thanksgiving dinner, this is a place of real joy. It's camaraderie, it's rest, it's peace, except for maybe the cook in the kitchen. But it's such a beautiful scene that everyone relates to. Why is Thanksgiving the most traveled day in the year? Because everybody wants this. They want to be together. They want to be with family. They want to sit down at table. They want to eat. They want to rejoice and make merry. And it's good. These basic joys are the best ones, by the way. And our Lord says, now that is coming for you. And the Son of God, who has girded himself about, is going to have you recline at table. And then the last one, more something like what he's already said. He said, and then this master will come up and wait on them. You think about that for a moment. The Son of God waiting on you. The Son of God who has girded himself about with the garb of a servant. He's had you recline at table, and now he comes to share with you and to give to you. This is such a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus. In heaven, he will be the most glorious. And in heaven, he will be the most humble. Let me say that again. It's not terribly profound in its utterance, but the reality of it, I believe, is he is the most beautiful, glorious one in the heavens, and he is the most humble one there. We hear people saying, sometimes I just want to get in. I don't care if I'm the last person before the door shuts. I just want to get there. And the Lord says, you know, don't strive for that. You strive to just go in all the way. Peter says, well, you want a broad entrance. You want an ample entry. But I just want to stand there. I just want to, maybe no one will look at me, and it's the false picture of humility. You want real humility. Look at Jesus. Look at the Lord Jesus. Look at the Son of God who, and this is no new thing. What we see on the earth is what we see in the heavens. And I think this is one reason why it says that the Son of God, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is also the Lamb standing as if slain. So, these promises are added to these instructions, commands, exhortations to his people. And I think what he is stressing upon us is that, you know, what it means to keep your lamp lit and be dressed in readiness is all that he's already said. We have to be done with worry. We have to give ourselves to the age to come. We have to lay our lives down for the Lord Jesus. And it's not just the first watch, it might be the second. It's not just the second watch, it might be the third. We don't know, but we have to keep looking and waiting. But I think what he's wanting us to see is just how utterly worth it will be. I used to think, Lord, will you do so much with so little? So little service on our part to Christ. So much reward. so little sacrifice, so much glory, so little suffering, and so much honor? Will you do so much with so little? And I think the answer is, yes, he will. Yes, he will. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to be with us and hear us as we cry out to him. Let's pray.